Project Podcast is on. Going behind the scenes of Kansas State athletics, from the action on the gridiron to the octagon of doom, and much more. Plus, making rounds about the happenings in the community. Triple P is loud and proud and ready to take charge in the Big 12 Conference. Podcasting to the Little Apple, Kansas City, and the world. It's the Purple Project Podcast. And now, here's your host, Eddie Greer III.
K-State Nation, what is going on? The Purple Project Podcast on your airwaves again. Eddie Greer III here for the Purple Project Podcast. Before we kick things off here with me and Alex, of course, you can find the Purple Project Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and now we're on iHeartRadio as well. So the Purple Project Podcast starting to get the name out to some of these podcasting originals out there. So starting off small, but iHeartRadio now home to the Purple Project Podcast as well. So yeah, there's that news. Recording this on this Saturday, June 20th, 2020. Still hot in Manhattan, Kansas. That's me, Eddie Greer, now on the phone. My co-host, as usual, out in San Diego, California, none other than Double A, Alex Aiden. Alex, what's up, man?
How you doing, Eddie? Good to talk to you. Happy early Father's Day to you. Although it'll be, once the listeners hear this, it will already have been Father's Day. But since it's not coming yet, happy early Father's Day to you. Is this your first Father's Day as a father?
Yes. Yes, it will be. Yeah. So.
Wow! What a big day. Oh
boy. Yeah. It will be a big day tomorrow. Yeah, for sure. So yeah, definitely got that same sentiment from some of my running buddies from earlier this morning for our group Saturday run. So, yep. It's all still kind of strange, but still getting used to it. Every day is a different day.
I was gonna say, I bet every day is unpredictable.
Yep, it definitely is, and having one of those afternoons for sure. But everything is in order as best as it can, and we're gonna go ahead, and we got so much to talk about in so little time. But
yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so definitely now with news coming with this coronavirus and everything else, this is definitely gonna have to be a part two. We're going to talk about women's basketball. We might talk about that. Might push that back towards the end. We'll have to talk about that a lot more next week. But yes, breaking news, folks, on the Purple Project Podcast. That the news came out via Kelis Robinette. This really started over the week with June 15th, the workouts with the football team. Everybody, well, in small groups anyways, and then the first report of somebody, and again, we don't know who the athletes are, these football players, but it's this case started with one, then it gets it doubled to two, and then WIBW said Thursday night it was six football players got tested positive for coronavirus, and now even some more players, 14, we talked about it just before we got on air, 14 players are tested positive with coronavirus, and I think, Alex, the last episode of the Pro Project Podcast, that I think we jinxed the football team.
I spoke it into existence. I didn't mean to do that.
Yeah, so, and now, with all this going on, not only here in Manhattan, Little Apple, but Major League Baseball is getting it. The Blue Jays, I ran across the Blue Jays are shutting down, like workouts or something like that. Yeah, so this thing, this COVID-19 ain't going away anytime soon. And Alex, another tweet that I saw came across today via Derek Young of K-State Online. He posed this question with the fact that these students, 20,000 of them, supposed to be coming here to K-State in August. What then? What if those students with the right amount of protocol get tested for this COVID-19. What then? So this is just multiplying by the day, by the hour, it seems like.
It does, Eddie, and also some breaking news as well that just came out of an hour ago that I just saw, that K-State has shut down their football workouts due to the COVID-19, the 14 positive cases. I believe that if I'm reading this right from Yahoo Sports, it looks like they, so it says that they paused all their workouts for football players as the positive COVID-19 tests have increased. And they were the second program, I believe, to do that in the country. And just a couple other stats to show that this isn't just isolated to K-State. There's a report that at least 30 LSU players are in quarantine. And there's also a report that there's 23 positive cases at Clemson. And then there are 13 Texas players who have it.
Yeah, I saw that. Yep.
So it is not just K-State. It is going everywhere, but K-State has shut down their football workouts. And you pose the bigger, grand question in all of this, because the fact of the matter, first off, I apologize for speaking this into existence last week. I did not mean that. But these cases that are going on right now, those aren't going to impact the season. So what we're seeing right now will not have an impact on the season. The question is, it really brings to light the problem that we could have when the football season comes about. While these particular cases won't affect the season, what do you do when the season comes up, school's back in session, you've got all those students, you're practicing in full pads, you're not just working out, you're actually having practices and two-a-days and all those types of things with much more contact. And this is just highlighting how easily this COVID-19 pandemic and virus can spread. So Tim Fitzgerald, he laid out, he wrote a good article this week in GoPowerCat.com that talked about, could there be a football season? And he said, he mentioned this is the, first time he has not felt terribly confident in a football season. And I have to be honest, Eddie, this is the first time I have felt the same way. This week was when I officially had the oh crap moment on, man, football could be in jeopardy. Because what do you do, like you said, when kids... I shouldn't call them kids. When students are back on campus, what do you do? How does that work? What are the testing processes look like? Because right now what's happening is the student athletes, they go to the Lafine, the student healthcare facility. They get a test. Once it's negative, they can go into the facility. But right now they're not going into the facility. But what do you do when they're going into classrooms with all these other students and they are having all this interaction? And, I mean, who knows? Because what's going to happen is they're also doing the contact tracing, and a lot of players are in quarantine that have been in contact with players who have tested positive for the coronavirus. So what happens if 40 guys can't play for 2 weeks? I mean, do you have to forfeit? We mentioned this briefly last week, but what do you have to forfeit a game? I mean, are there going to be particular weeks where they just have to shut down college football for 2 weeks and then let it, come back? I don't know what's going to happen, but it is clearly highlighting the issue. Now, we knew there were going to be COVID-19 tests. I think we talked about that from the beginning. We knew that there were going to be positive cases of COVID-19. It was just inevitable. With sports, we knew it. It was always about, okay, how do we keep these numbers down enough to where we can play football at the safest level possible. And, you're having workouts, and the first week you get 14 positive tests, and that's, like I said, with no students on campus, that's not including practices, that's with minimal contact.
Yep.
And it's showing how quickly it can spread, so I am legitimately concerned, Eddie, about football. In and football being played. And this week, Dr. Anthony Fauci, who has really been the head doctor, who's kind of been the head of this whole entire coronavirus pandemic, he said that he can't see a way that football's played without being played in a bubble. Essentially the way the NBA is doing it down in Orlando. And I can't think of a feasible way that college football can be played in a bubble. I just can't. Now, he was referring to the NFL when he was speaking, but it would be the exact same concept. It would still be the exact same concept.
Yeah, same thing.
College football. Yeah, so and if anything, college football is even harder because you have more players and you have the students. In the NFL, it's easier to do the isolation and the bubble type of thing. I don't think that that's what the NFL will do, but it would be easier for the NFL to do it. There's no way that college can have them play in a bubble. I just don't see any way that's realistic. So if Dr. Fauci's saying, man, there's not a way football can be played unless it's played in a bubble, I'm sitting here thinking, well, there's no way you can play college football in a bubble unless there's, unless something comes out. And I don't know. This just got a lot more complicated this week with everybody returning for workouts. And, you know what? Maybe they proceed with it and they say, you know what? No one's dying. These student athletes, most of them are asymptomatic. We're going to, just maybe they sign waivers and that type of thing to go play. I'm not exactly sure. It's still early, so there's a lot of things that they can work through, and like I said, maybe they loosen their stance on contact tracing and things like that, and allow players to play that have come into contact with those who tested positive. But I don't know. It just got a lot more complicated, and I definitely think that there's a possibility that we don't have college football in the fall, and that's a really really scary thought. So hopefully they can, figure something out. But Commissioner Boultzee, commissioner of the Big 12, he's been vocal about his concerns this entire time,
right,
about the coronavirus and the impact it can have on Big 12 play. And I don't think that he would hesitate on shutting down Big 12 football if he felt like there wasn't a way it could be played, because he's kind of hinted at that. So, and you mentioned it too, Eddie. It's kind of spiking up in a lot of different places. Like here in San Diego, yesterday it was announced that they're putting a pause on their reopening process because of outbreaks in the city, in the county. And yesterday was the highest single case day that San Diego's seen yet. So, there's obviously many reasons why cases are up right now in a lot of different places. Part of it's testing, part of it's contact tracing, and then part of it probably is too that businesses are reopening and more people are out and more people in return are getting it. So I think that you just, all of this just kind of combined together has really made me realize that, this isn't going to be as easy as we thought it would be. And I think that there is a legit possibility that football could, college football could be in jeopardy. Now, I've said from the get-go, it's going to be harder for football to shut down than it would have been for basketball or baseball or soccer or this or that, because, quite frankly, there's more powerful people in positions with football that want it to get played than have more sway, number one. And number two, there's more money on the line. Anytime there's more money on the line, it's typically going to be harder to get it shut down. But you know what? I don't know. And I'm interested to hear your thoughts on it, Eddie, because this is 14 players in a week having to shut down the workouts. I mean, it doesn't sound good. It doesn't sound good.
You're listening to episode number 6 of the Purple Project Podcast. Eddie Greer, Alex Hayden here for the K-State News Podcast. Yeah, I mean, this is absolutely a concern. And before I dive into some more of my thoughts here, I want to give a quick shout-out real quick to Tim Fitzgerald. He reached out to us on Twitter about our podcast. I meant to do it last week, but with our hot show last week, it slipped my mind. So I want to give him a quick shout-out for supporting this podcast. And I know they do good work at the Goat Power Cat. I listen to their podcast on a weekly basis as well, so I want to give them a quick shout out. But yeah, this is a huge concern because the university, looking at it from that from this aspect, you know, what drives the university? Football is one of the biggest. They get, and I've been learning about this even more each and every day. But a lot of donors donate money for football. In basketball, obviously, in football being a big thing here in the Little Apple. And John Kurtz has said it in the local radio station here on his podcast. And by the way, we don't know that it's the game 93.3 in 1350 came in. But he said it as well that, you know, if we don't have football season, that's big trouble for not just K-State. Everybody in the country, because we're seeing right now other universities having a cut. Baseball, whereas baseball, different sports, because they got enough money right now. And this is a huge concern for K-State.
I didn't mean to cut you off, but you hit it right on the nose when you talked about what John Kurtz said. John Kurtz, obviously, he's plugged in his takes are typically pretty on point.
Yeah.
And you hit it on the nose with that's the thing. It is bigger than football, and you highlighted that. Programs can legitimately, programs will get cut. Let's just be honest about it. Let's not say, well, they could get, yes, K-State athletic programs will get cut if there is no football. There is no way that K-State can keep all of their athletic programs if they don't have football. It is their biggest financial driver, and you're right. A ton of donors come from that as well. And K-State just announced an expansion project of the football practice facility, which is going to be extra money as well. It's going to lead to cuts, and you're right. It could lead to, you know, cuts of K-State's women's soccer or cuts of K-State's maybe track and field, and I don't know if they would go as far as baseball, but if the finances came to that point, who knows? Maybe they would cut baseball. You know, I guess it's hard for me to picture them cutting baseball, but they'd lose so much money with no football. They may not have a choice. They may have to cut it, and they may just be left with basketball and football. And I know some people may be sitting here thinking, oh, Alex, stop being so dramatic. Stop being so extreme. And look, I'm playing worst case scenario, okay? I mean, I don't think that all these programs will get cut. But that's the risk that you run if you don't have a football season, because that is the biggest financial driver for the athletic department and for the university.
Yeah, and also, it'd just be weird not having a college football season, or an NFL season for that matter. But yeah, you hit something that I was going to touch on. You're spot on about the expansion of these sporting facilities that right now, it's actually going on right now at the football stadium right now, that they're doing a project on the south end zone, if my memory is correct. They're connecting that side to Bramlage right now as we speak right now. But yeah, and the soccer team, we just had the soccer team. It's been new for a few years. You had that, and we just got a new baseball coach not too long ago. So, and you're seeing cutbacks in salary for these coaches as well. So COVID-19 has affected pretty much everybody in the United States, whether you're a student, whether you're a parent, whether you're a job, you're trying to still provide for your family. There's a lot of dominoes that are being knocked down thanks to this COVID-19. It's very unfortunate. And now, you know, the excitement of K-State football, you got all these players returning, trying to travel back to Manhattan, get themselves right for football season, and bam, one positive test, another one, double it. And then you get 14, and all of a sudden, you got to shut it down for 2 weeks. You're missing, not only that, you're missing quality time.
Huge time. I mean, absolutely. You're missing quality time. And And Eddie, you mentioned something that I was going to want to highlight here a little bit later, and so I'll mention it real quick. That, you know, for the crowd, I mentioned this on the very first episode I had with you on the Purple Project podcast. That this is what, you know, there are people who say, well, you know, there's no sports until there's a vaccine. You know, get it, just a game. Yep. It's just entertainment. You know, just you know, go without it. It is not that easy, okay? Like, you mentioned the fact that, and I mentioned this in that first episode, these are businesses. These are, you know, these have people who are employed, and there is a lot of money on the line. It affects the economy of Manhattan. Football games are a huge economic driver for the city of Manhattan. So it affects that. It affects the quality of life aspects there. It affects the financial stability for the university. It affects the employment of hundreds of people at the university and within the athletic departments. So it affects so many different people. It could bleed, it very easily, as we have highlighted, can bleed into other areas, and it can hurt the city, it can hurt the university, it can hurt the other athletic programs, and it's bigger than football. It is much, much bigger than football, and that's why, yeah, you could maybe get away with no baseball season, you know, okay, maybe we get away without that, but man, yeah, you see how what K-State's had to do just with no baseball season, having, as you mentioned, Chris Klein has taken a pay cut, Bruce Weber's taken a pay cut, other coaches have taken pay cuts. K-State has lost a lot of money already from this, and that's with no baseball season.
Yep.
And you cannot compare baseball to football from a financial standpoint. It's not even close. And you're already looking at most likely no fans in the stands. I mean, we haven't heard anything about that yet. But
right. Yep.
Really hard right now to imagine fans in the stands if we can't even get a football.
Yeah, we can't. Yeah, we can't even get a full week of practice in. Yeah, I don't know how we're gonna do it.
You're gonna lose money with no fans in the stands. So you're already behind the eight ball right there. And so, man, they gotta. If they can't find a way to get them on the field, I mean, the impact on the city and the university are big. And you know what? I'll take it a step further. Yeah, as an avid sports fan, you know, I really think it's legitimately hurt the country not having sports. Of course, I'm biased. I'm a sports fan. Of course, I'm going to say that. But we look at the times we're in right now. There's a lot of negative news out there. And there's not a lot of good going on. Not a lot of good news going on out there right now.
No, it's not.
and a lot of people can't do anything. A lot of people are at home. I'm working home through Labor Day, at least, at the minimum right now. So, you know, I'm not able to really go out and do much. And there's a lot of people that are in that same boat. And all that's on TV is just it's a bunch of bad news. So, you know, there's no escape for so many people. And I think the country needs the escape of sports so badly. I really, really think, I've heard some people say it's a distraction, and I totally understand where they're coming from and totally respect those opinions. With that said, I really don't think it would be a distraction. I really think it would help unify, and I really think it's what a lot of people need, and I know I desperately need something to get my mind off of. All the negative stuff that's going on right now. So
damn right, yeah.
So, you know, I'll take it that step further and say, you know what, I mean, yeah. Yes, as a sports fan, I think it's incredibly important to get it back from that aspect. But getting back to what I was saying, the more important factors are obviously the people who are employed who could get fired because of it, or not fired, get laid off because of it,
mm-hmm.
and programs that could be cut because of it. And then just students. You don't want students losing a year of, you know, they work their tails off all offseason trying to get ready. You know, how bad for those seniors if they can't get that senior campaign and that's it? I mean, maybe the NCAA could make an exception
you know, and allow them to play another year. But, you know, that's not guaranteed. You know, we don't know if that's the route that they would go or not. And so, you know, you just don't want it for the players. You know, you want them out there, and you want them to be able to play. And so, it's a sad deal. And you just cross your fingers that we can figure something out, because it's scary. I mean, it's just, like I said, it's a scary deal. In case they went, they have 150 student athletes, already 14 test positive. You know, I did hear this though, Eddie, and I don't think this is going to happen, but I did hear this bounced around by a couple of people who said, you know what? What if we just, you know, try to get everybody in a room and just have everyone quarantined for 2 weeks together, and just like have the whole team get it, and then they just have herd immunity, and then they're not going to get it later in the year. And I was like, you know what? That may make sense for some other virus that's not so dangerous, but because you know what? That happened with me. My mom did that with me when someone had a chicken pox. She wanted me to get the chicken pox as a kid, so she, you know, put me with another kid and had me get the chicken pox. Boom, done. Alex has gotten it. He's good now. So, you know, I mean, I think there's a few operative people who say, well, why don't we just have all the football players just get coronavirus now, and then they've built it up and they won't get it during the regular season. You know, that it's easy. I understand the logic behind it, but it's kind of hard to justify when nearly like 120,000 people died from it. So in the U.S. So I don't know. I don't think anything will come of that. But I tell you, people are grasping at everything right now to try to figure out what they can do.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast.
Yeah, just one final thought before we transition into something else here, because we've almost gone through half hour talking about COVID-19 already.
Hey, man.
Good discussion. It's been a good discussion, though. But yeah, I've been fortunate to been able to go to work throughout all this. So pretty fortunate to be an essential worker and to be able to provide for my family and do that kind of stuff. So that's been, I've been pretty fortunate and blessed to have that chance to do that. So I've been pretty lucky, but yeah, absolutely. I mean, with all that stuff going on outside the world right now, yeah, we will probably say it again a lot moving forward throughout the summer. But yeah, we'll definitely monitor the situation moving forward with this COVID-19 breaking news. It's happening, which happened actually today. It announced that K-State Athletics shutting down football workouts for 14 days, with the players getting tested positive double. So, I mean, I want to read this real quick before we transition to another topic that I want to hit on. From Gene Taylor here real quick. This was early in the week. We will always keep our focus on the health and well-being of our student athletes and staff. A small number of positive tests, this was early in the week, was something that we were anticipating based on what we are seeing from across college football, and our medical staff and coaching staffs are well prepared for the next steps. While we know this is a very fluid situation, we have a great plan in place, and all of our student athletes have done their part in following the correct procedures to return to campus. That fluid situation is escalating very, very fast. So.
And Eddie, I want to jump in here real quick too, because Gene Taylor put out a statement or a quick, I don't know if it was a statement or if it was a comment to Yahoo on the closure of the program, but there is a statement quickly from him on that. He said the health and well-being of our student athletes will always be our top priority. And following most recent test results that we felt like temporarily pausing football workouts and access to our facilities was the best decision for everyone. We continue to take the situation very seriously, and we want to do everything we can to get back to workouts soon. So just wanted to give you that little nugget since I just saw that pop up too.
All right, yeah, so we'll definitely be talking about it, unfortunately, but it is what it is right now, not only affecting here in Manhattan, Kansas, or San Diego, wherever you're living at, listen to this podcast. But K-State Nation, all over the United States, right now, everybody's affected. LSU, their news coming out. So, yeah, everybody is being hit and hit hard by this COVID-19. The Pro Project Podcast, Episode 6, rolls on. Eddie Greer in Manhattan, Kansas, along with Alex Aiden from San Diego, California. Both of us went to K-State graduates. And not only that, 91 Wildcat 91.9 alums. So there you go. All right. Yep, that's right. All right, so also during this week, two of the most recognizable players in K-State football history are on the ballot. These guys are already on the Ring of Honor already for K-State, but they were among the 78 Football Bowl Subdivision players named to the 2021 ballot of the College Football Hall of Fame. Those two players are, and we know them very well, Michael Bishop and Darren Sproles. Now, I was not around, I was not here in Manhattan when Michael Bishop played. Now, I did see, back in the day, I did see a couple football games, and that includes, I don't want to make any K-State football fan mad, but I did see the Big 12 Championship game in 98, heartbreaker, so I won't go into more than that. I wasn't even a K-State fan back then. And then, so, did see him play a little bit. Unfortunately, he had to sit behind a future Hall of Famer in Tom Brady. I'm not going to get started with that. And then, now, I am familiar with Darren Sproles. See him with K-State. Again, I was not up here in the time frame when Sproles played, but I did get to see him, well, I think it was a couple years ago, get inducted to the Ring of Honor for K-State. That was pretty cool to see. So, these guys, you know, Sproles I've seen a lot, and Sproles finally retired from the NFL, unfortunately from difficult injuries. He got hit with injuries very hard toward his NFL career. And obviously Michael Bishop, if that type of player, Alex, would have been drafted in the current era of football, NFL football, he would flourish in it. We see Patrick Mahomes flourish with it. Lamar Jackson and another quarterback, I can't think of off the top of my head, that operates on a dime. So these two guys obviously are very popular in K-State lore for what they have done, not only for football, but for this university in their respective ways. So, Alex, what are your thoughts? I know you probably have some more thoughts, but I did not see a whole lot of Michael Bishop other than those few games back in the day, but you probably have more stories of Michael Bishop. But yeah, man, at least from a K-State football exciting, from that aspect, these guys are part of the 78 football players that are hoped to be named, inducted in the College Football Hall of Fame next year.
Yeah, so, you know, everybody that knows me, Eddie, knows that K-State's purple has ran in my blood my entire life. Both my parents went to Kansas State. My mom, actually, she back when it was broken up to the Big 12 North and Big 12 South, she really kind of made her way around the North because she went to Nebraska, K-State, and KU, all three within her college time. So, although she's not a KU fan, do not worry, everybody. She just makes them like me, so we are fine there. She disowned Nebraska when I went to the Big Ten. She's never liked KU. She barely could even hold her head up when she had to walk through her graduation there because she went to med school there. So, she's a K-State fan, so we are good there. So anyway, I had some other family members who graduated from K-State as well, so it's run the blood. And I was watching K-State sports from a young age, so I do remember Michael Bishop and Darren Sproles. And I was a big Michael Bishop fan. Now, I don't remember him quite as well as I do L. Roberson, who was there with Darren Sproles. Similar players. But I can tell you about Michael Bishop is the guy was absolutely electric on the football field. And those who are older than us will remember that even better, who may be listening. But he was absolutely electric. And I think you bring up a really good point. If you take, and I hadn't really thought about it, but it's true. If you take Michael Bishop, you know, back in that day, and you kind of transplant him into this time period in football, I don't think there's any doubt that he would definitely get a better look in the NFL than he did. And you know, he did have those opportunities there, but look, it was a pocket passer league when he was in the NFL, and now you're right. The big thing is quarterbacks who are mobile, who can run, and who can make plays with their legs and still be able to throw the ball. And Michael Bishop was just a playmaker. You know, he could, you know, he obviously fit Bill Snyder's his scheme perfectly. You know, the designed runs were deadly. You never knew whether he was going to throw a run or pass. And it just made him hard to defend, because you drop back, you leave all this room, and Bishop's just going to tear you up there. You come after him, and he's going to hit the open guy. So he was just so hard to defend, and really a special player to watch. And I encourage you who have not seen a lot of Michael Bishop, go back and watch some of his highlight reels, because they're entertaining. They're entertaining. There's not much to do right now anyway, so go watch them. But they're entertaining, and he made some amazing plays. And like I said, I have more memories of L. Roberson, because he was the QB of the Darren Sproles and he played a similar style to Michael Bishop. But L. Roberson still, he wasn't the player that Michael Bishop was. No slight to L. I loved L, but he wasn't on the, you know, the Michael Bishop role. So, you know, that's awesome for Michael. And then getting over to Darren, first off, I am 99.8% sure he's not listening to our podcast, but if he is, congratulations on your retirement, because what an unbelievable NFL career. The fact that you have people, and I don't think he'll get inducted into the NFL Hall of Fame, but the fact that I've heard discussions from people in NFL circles about should he be considered in the NFL Hall of Fame tells you everything you need to know about the type of player that Darren Sproles was. You know, that's why so many Kansas City Chiefs fans are getting excited about their first-round draft pick, Clyde Edwards-Helaire from LSU, because people are hearing the Darren Sproles comparison. So once again, when you have a first-round draft pick and everyone's like, oh, he's like Darren Sproles, and everybody's like, oh, man, I'm so excited. Well, that tells you everything you need to know about Darren Sproles and the type of player that he was. He was absolutely, I talk about Michael Bishop being electric. Darren Sproles was equally as electric. Watching him was unbelievable, and I do have many memories watching Darren Sproles, and man, he was so fast. And he was so hard to tackle, Eddie. He was like, it was like he had, like, slime on him. And you couldn't grab him. He just slipped out of everything. And he would slip under linemen. And he would slip through linebackers. Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, he's on the third level. And then he just beat you with his speed. And what was amazing about him is he could beat you in so many different ways. You know, you could throw the ball to him out the backfield. He could line up as a receiver if he needed to. And then, heck, if you needed 2-3 yards, he could get you those 2-3 yards and play physical football, despite his big stature. He could obviously return kicks, and he did a very nice job of returning kicks in the NFL, and was just a electric player. And everybody's first memory of him is the game he had against Oklahoma in the 2003 Big 12 Championship. You had to bring up the bad one, so I'll bring up the good one. 2003 Big 12 Championship, he was absolutely amazing. I was at that game. Hmm. And the memories that I have of that 2003 Big 12 Championship against Oklahoma, man, no one thought K-State had a chance at it. Everybody's like, oh, you know, forget it. You know, the question is Oklahoma going to win by 20 or 40, and then K-State comes out and they beat him by 28, and Darren Sproles just has it on, like, he had an out of body experience in that game. He just went off, and that was one of the best performances I've ever seen from a college athlete, and definitely the best performance I've ever seen in person from a college athlete. I've never seen a college athlete do anything like that in front of my face. And so that's just the type of player he was. And he just leaves that type of mark. And he left it, and he left it. We'll go back to Kansas City in his high school days. He left the mark at Olathe North. He clearly left the mark at K-State, and he clearly left the mark in the NFL. And that tells you something, like I said, about Darren and the type of, not just the type of football player he was, but he's also just a great person. I got to meet him along with Terrence Newman in 2014 when they were the honorary coaches of the K-State Spring Game. And I was covering the Spring Game. And so got to meet them there on the sideline. And that was obviously a great moment because I loved watching both of them as growing up. But, you know, he's a great guy and does a lot for his community as well. And you know, just like I said, he's just an unbelievable representative for K-State. So happy that he is getting honored as well. Two players that are very deserving of getting that recognition.
Yeah. Absolutely. So to tie a bow on Bishop and Sproles, I'm going to add on the Olathe native for Sproles. He was first team All-American back in 03. And by the way, I remember seeing that game as well on TV. So that was some show that he put on OU there.
That was amazing.
Yeah. And that was amazing for you to see that in person. That had to be a tremendous atmosphere.
It was, and I was right behind the band, So the band was in, so I was actually in the lower deck. I was kind of in the corner, so it wasn't the best angle. But I was still in the lower deck, and I was one of the first rows behind the band. So the band was actually positioned to where, kind of like how they are at K-State right now. So they went down like all the way to like the first row. And then, like, back up. And I can't remember, halfway up through the section, maybe. And I was, maybe a couple rows back from the band. So the band was just, like, right there. It was like I was in the student section. You know the student section where it's just right next to you, the band? So, you know, that band was playing, was doing a lot of Wabash in that night. And it was being able to see that and then being next to the band and being able to, you know, all the Tostitos bags are being handed out because they were going to the Tostitos Festival, and everybody's opening up and throwing Tostitos chips all in the air. It was an amazing night, and it's one of a handful of K-State memories I'll never forget.
Yeah, Sproles, as I said, all American in 03, three-time All Big 12 performer, and he obviously left K-State holding 28 school records. 21 of those are still standing today and could be still standing if there ain't no football season. So Sproles ran for exactly 4,979 yards in his K-State career. That's 2,000 more clear at second place. Meanwhile, Michael Bishop, he won 88% of his games. Wow, that's incredible. As starting quarterback, going 15-1 in conference play, winner. His win percentage, that's the best in school history to date. That's stunning.
He's a winner, Eddie. He's just a winner.
Yeah, the numbers show it all right there. Obviously, the Big 12 Offensive Newcomer of the Year in 97. He followed that up by winning the Davey O'Brien Award and finish the runner-up position in the Heisman Trophy in 1998 there. So obviously we know these guys on the ballot for the College Hall of Fame for 2021. We'll see what happens there. This is the Purple Project Podcast with Eddie Greer III, a.k.a. EG3, with AA Alex Aiden out in San Diego, California. And before we get into our last topic here for the show, I want to congratulate you, my friend, for your one-year anniversary at your PR job. There, I don't know what your company is, but I know you transitioned from being in the news in the news station for quite a while there. So tell everybody how that happened.
No, yeah, definitely. Thank you so much, Eddie. I really appreciate it. This last Wednesday was my 1 year anniversary of being the in my new role at the Identity Theft Resource Center, which is a national nonprofit that essentially works with businesses and consumers and the government on identity crimes and compromise and things like that, cybersecurity. A bunch of different things. We try to help consumers, and we also try to educate consumers, and we work with the government and businesses on those things as well. So the journey to get there, and just I guess a little to give you just a brief on what my role is now. So I came from the media. You're right, Eddie, and now I'm the head of media relations for that at the Research Center. So that was really a seamless transition for me because I used to work in the news and now I'm the contact. And I think that really helped because working in the news, I have that understanding. I know what reporters, or this is how I view it anyway. I can be totally off and think this and someone's like, Alex, what the heck are you talking about? But I think my experience as a reporter has helped me because I remember when I was a reporter, the things that I looked for in press releases, like what got me to cover a story. I knew, I feel like I kind of have an idea of what's something that, you know, may get covered to something that they may not care about to being able to, know how to talk with media, just because I was one of them. And I remember, being on the other side of those conversations. So I've had a blast doing that. And then I've also got to head up copywriting and videography, which also ties back into my time in the news because, I had to write content every single day as well when I worked in the news. So, being the head of copywriting and writing content and working with our vendor on it has been a seamless transition for me. And then videography, I had to shoot a majority of my stories when I worked in TV. So that's also been seamless. So it's been a blast, and I've really enjoyed all those public relations efforts there. And I love the responsibility that they've given me in that role. But yeah, I worked in news, and it's a really common jump, Eddie, for people in news to make the jump to public relations. There's a lot of people who have done it, and it was something that, for me, I loved. I do not regret at all my time as a TV reporter. I don't regret getting my broadcast journalism degree from K-State. I would do it the exact same way because I met some amazing professors at K-State that taught me amazing things, and I got to work with amazing students, which are classmates, I guess you could say, and all of that is priceless. So I absolutely had a great experience at the JMC school. I would go through the JMC school again in a heartbeat, and I would go do the news again. Well, I wouldn't go do it again. I'm glad I did it. But for me, Eddie, I kind of came to the realization that a lot of people that work in the news do is that, while I'm a journalist at my core, I'll always be a journalist at my core. That will never, ever change. I just will be. But despite that, I kind of had the realization that, I don't think the life I want long term. I think that I want something that, is a little more financially stable, something that, has a little bit better of a work-life balance. And somewhere where it's going to allow me to live, where I want to live rather than have to just jump where the job is and then just try to work your way up the TV ladder. So, taking all those factors into place, I felt like it was the right move for me. And I've had a blast. I've had a blast my first year in public relations. And I feel like I've proven to myself that I can do the job at the high level, which has given me more confidence in the role that I'm in. So it's been a transition that's worked really well for me, and I'm where I want to be right now, and I think public relations I kind of home there, and but you know what, those TV moments you can't take those moments away, Eddie. I gotta play a Globetrotter. Trotter one-on-one when I was a reporter.
Oh, that's right. I remember that. Seeing that. Yeah.
I about threw up in the middle of it because he was just beating me so bad and I was so out of wit. Oh my gosh, he was running up and down that court. I was dumb. Don't ever play Globe Trotter one-on-one. Just play him at horse and lose that. Don't put yourself through the torture of a one-on-one loss like I did. But I got to play Globe Trotter one-on-one. I got to interview some amazing people. I got to tell some incredibly impactful stories. And they're just memories I'll never forget. I'll carry them with me for the rest of my life. And I love to tell stories. I absolutely love to tell them. And you know, that's why I'm a journalist. Like I said, I'm a journalist at my core. And that is absolutely where my passion is. You know, news and sports are two of my biggest passions. And the reason I didn't go to sports, I got this question a lot. Not that you asked, Eddie, but I guess I'll say it anyway. I got the question a lot. Why didn't you do sports as a career? You know, you did some sports TV stuff at K-State a little bit. You did a ton of sports radio at K-State, and you have a huge passion for sports. You know, why didn't you go that route? But for me, I really wanted sports to stay a hobby. You know, I didn't want that to become my job, if that makes sense. Because the thing I realized at K-State when I did some sports on the TV side was, you know what, this just, I feel like I can't enjoy it as much if it's my job. And I really want sports to be, you know, that hobby, you know, that escape for me, that thing I do on the side, so to speak. And so that's kind of why I went the different direction. But yeah, that's been the journey. And I'm happy where I am now. I told you, I'm a Kansas City boy at heart. I'll always be a Kansas City boy for my entire life. But I found a place that I love out here in San Diego. Found a job, a great job, great coworkers, it's been a fun ride. And you know what, I'm looking forward to seeing what happens next. But I appreciate all the congratulations that I've got on it. And I guess just a little message for anybody. If anyone is in a position where they kind of don't know, you know, what they should do next, because that's kind of where I was with TV. You know, really, you know, be open to hearing others and seeing what they think. I had a lot of discussions with K-State, with my former K-State professors prior to making the jump to PR. And a lot of them encouraged me to do it. So, you know, feel free to have those conversations with people and find the right fit for you. You know, there's a lot of different directions that people can go, and you know, just be open to all of them. And I would have never thought I would have ended up in PR. That was never, ever the plan, Eddie. Ever the plan until a couple years ago when I decided to make that's the direction I wanted to go. So, you know, just be open to everything.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast.
Yeah, so, yep, that's the lesson right there from Alex. Be open to everything because, hey, you never know where the next life decision is going to take. So there is that. So running short on time, so we got on late. So I want to give a quick shout out, and I'm going to have to move this back to next week because of all the breaking news. This was what's happened in the last few hours today here on the Purple Project Podcast. Eddie Greer, Alex Aiden. Yeah, so Jeff Mitty, head coach for the women's basketball team here in Manhattan. Obviously, want to give a shout out to him and his wife, Shanna, on their 28th anniversary today as we're recording this podcast. So I want to give a quick shout out for that. And we're going to have a table of that women's discussion for next episode of the podcast. And I want to do a rundown real quick. Well, actually, I'm just going to do a rundown of names. And we'll go in a deeper discussion next week because I want to hit on this last topic here very fast. I had it up here momentarily. Yes, so early this week, the Hall of Fame class of 2020 here at K-State, the K-State Athletics Hall of Fame, which was headlined by
three football players. One of them we already talked about, Darren Sproles. And we'll talk about more about all these athletes more in length. I want to save that table at next discussion for next episode. But yes, Darren Sproles, Jordy Nelson, David Allen, most people probably forget, A.J. Morris from baseball, Lori Cohn, women's basketball. They have the Veneers, Marty, John, and Mary Veneer, who've done a lot for the K-State. Liz Wigner from volleyball, and I might butcher the next two, Mike Wawarowski, men's basketball, and then you have, last but not least, track and field, and I'm going to butcher this real bad, but Altalia Sizakowski, or whatever his name is. Yeah, so, yeah, that's the best way I'm going to put it here in the Pro Project Podcast. That's how I'm going to do it. So, and more, we'll discuss this more at length. I know, obviously, Jordy Nelson is another big name here at K-State and all of Manhattan, recently moved back to Riley County, so doing his thing. So we'll discuss this more, a little bit more at length next week. So some pretty big names on this list here, and yeah, congratulations to all these athletes who've done K-State, the city of Manhattan proud, and still repping the purple today. So yeah, there is that. All right, so I wanted to hit on this last week, Alex, but I didn't get to because of our hot episode. This is also a hot episode as well. But
this is a hot episode.
Yeah. So apparently, back to football in a ways, kind of to tie this all together to wrap up the podcast here this afternoon. Skylar Thompson, apparently, and I saw this early last week. He was one of the nominees for the Northeast Kansas honorary ESPYs. Apparently they're going to be starting that. And now I don't know when the votes are going to be due, but obviously our quarterback Skylar Thompson is on this list now. The rest of them include Emporia State's track standout Tyshawn Goodwin. Was up for Male Athlete of the Year. And then Scott Thompson is going up against two KU men's basketball players, past basketball players, Devon Dotson and Udoka Asabuki, as part of the large college Male Athlete of the Year. So basically, just focusing on that right there, Scott Thompson against Doke and Devon Dotson as College Male Athlete of the Year. What do you think about that?
Dale, I think that's a bad matchup for Skylar. That's not as good a fare against Devon Dotson and Doak. Those two are pretty damn good at KU.
Yeah.
You know what? Great, good for Skylar to be a part of this list. You know, that's an honor in and of itself right there. And he deserves it. You know, you and I have discussed, you know, our thoughts on Skylar, and I'll share more thoughts on him, at, you know, in weeks to come on the podcast. But, you know, I'm glad that he's, you know, getting honored, and he deserves that. He absolutely deserves that recognition. I don't think that he's got much of a chance. You know, and I'll be 100% honest, even as a diehard K-Stater, I vote Skylar because he's a K-Stater, but if someone said, as a pure sports fan, who do you really, you know, think should move forward? I mean, it'd be hard for me to go against Dawson and Doak, because those two are just so good in KU. Yeah, they're cheaters. Yes, they're a rival. Yes, I can't stand them, but I can't just ignore two great basketball players. But you know what? That's really cool. It's a really cool thing that's going on and being done. You see this going on in some different areas where they're doing these type of honorary ESPY things, and that's really cool. Why not do these things? You know, you get to recognize good athletes, collegiate athletes, for what they're doing, and you get to, you know, get people to think about something else and get them to do something that requires, you know, a little engagement, which is something that's kind of needed at this time. So it's just a great. It just seems like a win-win for everything and everyone, and it's and you know, Skylar can get the recognition he wants. We get to have these fun discussions that we wouldn't be having otherwise, and be getting to, you know, and getting to engage in something like this and a competition like this. So it's a great deal. Really happy for Skylar that he was on it. He deserves it. We've talked about it before. Skylar has gotten the bad end of or the short end of a lot of sticks, I guess you could say.
Right. Yep.
So, you know, it's really nice to see him get the recognition that he deserves, because there have been times where he deserves recognition. He deserves the start as quarterback or whatever it might be, and he just hasn't gotten it. So, so good for him. And who knows? You know, Skylar. Hey, Skylar is a fierce competitor, Eddie. Maybe he pulls an upset. I don't know. Maybe he does.
Yeah, we'll have to find out and see what happens there. Yeah, he's got. Yes.
I'm gonna
do
it, but maybe he can.
Yeah, he's got some competition there, that's for sure. But yeah, it's all great to see him on there, and we'll definitely have more exciting discussions on him in the upcoming episodes of the Triple P Purple Project podcast. Of course, the quarterback situation. Of course, he's the starter right now, but behind him. It's packed behind him, especially with the recruiting class. This year's recruiting class of, Will Howard, Nick Oss, and then Jake Rubley, the latest recruit in there as well. So, but yeah, that's gonna be saved for another time. But definitely interesting. But yeah, the big story here in Manhattan this afternoon: K-State has suspended all activities for football workouts due to this COVID-19, a big news story, and COVID-19 is still the biggest story and will be for quite some time. And yeah, LSU football players have been quarantined, K-State's football players have been quarantined, and like we talked about earlier to wrap up the podcast, Alex, yeah, man, this is a lost time. Every day that somebody gets quarantined, you're missing, unfortunately, I mean, yes, I'm not dismissing health is the most important part of everybody, right? So, but on the flip side of the coin, you're a student athlete, you're missing that critical time, not only trying to get yourself back into college shape, but to get your mind right also, for which the season's pretty much up in the air right now. We don't know what's going to happen. This thing is not going away anytime soon, my man.
No, and you sit here, we mentioned Skylar Thompson as quarterback, and in the back of your head, you got to wonder, like, has he played his last snap with K-State? Like,
oh, boy.
It gets, remember how I said Skylar always gets the short end of the stick?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, finally, when things are going well for him, that would be something that would happen to him. Like, that would be something that would happen to him. And that kind of gets back to my, you know, man, this is sick for seniors. Like I said, maybe he would get, you know, would be granted an extra year of eligibility. But you talked about the competition behind him. You know, maybe in a year, Chris Kleiman's ready to go with Will Howard or whoever it might be at the next QB next. I mean, who knows? But
yes.
But we're just going to have to continue to watch it and monitor it. And what really makes it tricky, too, Eddie, is I was reading a majority of these cases have been asymptomatic. And right. I wonder if they get to the point where they're like, you know what, this just isn't much of a threat to our athletes. And like I said, they let some of them play through it. I'm legitimately wondering if they may get to that point if time goes on and they're like, you know what, our student athletes are getting it, but nothing's happening. Like, they're not sick.
Right.
So, I mean, I just wonder if they may get to the point where they're like, you're tested positive and you're asymptomatic, but we're going to have people who play unless they're sick. I mean, maybe they get to that point. Maybe they cut out the contact tracing and say, you're going to play even if you were in contact with someone. We're not going to quarantine you. Because the reality of it is, too many players are going to get it and come into contact with too many for you to be able to play football. I mean, you just won't be able to play. It's just not, you're not going to be able to you're not going to be able to do it. There's going to have to be some flexibility there. And I don't know what that looks like, but hopefully in these coming, I guess the coming month or two, they can learn more about it and maybe get a little more information on that so they can make some more educated decisions on how they want to proceed with that. But definitely something for us to watch.
Yeah, that's for sure. We will definitely monitor the situation here. I know I will be here right in the thick of it here in Manhattan, Kansas as well. So this is going to be a continuing story moving forward for K-State Athletics, for football, for pretty much all the universities here in the United States. Alex, to wrap us up, where do new followers like to follow you at?
The follow. You can follow me at AFACHTEN. Once again, that is AFACHTEN, and that is on Twitter. That would be my personal Twitter. Just side note, Eddie, do you remember Urban Santana? He pitched for the Braves for 1 year.
I do, yes, yep.
He pitched for the Royals for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
So he followed me today. I don't follow him. He just followed me out of the blue today on Twitter. So maybe Urban Santana's listening to our podcast.
He did it as well, because he followed me as well. And
did he follow you too?
Yeah, yep.
Okay, if that's it. Urban Santana's listening to the podcast. Hello, Urban. It's good to see you. Thank you for the great 2013 season in the Royals. So, appreciate it. But you can catch me there. Apparently Urban's catching us.
Yep, Tim Fitzgerald's catching us, yep.
That's right, Tim Fitzgerald. We have Tim Fitzgerald listening. We got Keith and Valentine, we mentioned, former K-State running back. He's listening. And I've seen a couple other people on Twitter who have acknowledged the show, too. So, hey, look, we got some people listening. We got a former player. We've got apparently an MLB player. And we've got Tim Fitzgerald, the head of Go Power Cat, listening. And so, hey, like you said at the beginning, the audience is growing. The audience for the Purple Project podcast is growing. And follow me on Twitter. Have a conversation with me. You can also follow me on my professional Twitter, @Alex_ITRC, if you want to see some of the things I'm up with. Some of the things that I'm doing with work.
Yeah, and you can follow me at Eddie_EG3 on Twitter as well, @Eddie_EG3 as well. Like I said at the top, Purple Project Podcast, if you're looking for a distraction, we talked about that earlier, yeah, definitely get the Purple Project Podcast on your list of podcasts to listen to on Spotify, Apple Podcast, and we're now on iHeartRadio. So, yeah, the Purple Project Podcast is moving, so don't miss out. And if you're looking for a distraction...
Who knew Santana was a K-State fan? Who knew?
I did not know. Who knew? All right, another edition of the Purple Project Podcast is coming to a close right now. Appreciate you, Alex, for hopping on, as always, out in San Diego. And we'll definitely talk next week. Eddie Greer III here in Manhattan saying thank you guys for listening to the Purple Project Podcast. Hey, we'll catch you guys next week with another hot episode of the Triple P Purple Project Podcast. We'll see you next time on the podcast. And I also got another thing that I usually close out the show with. Remember, stay safe, stay healthy, do the right things necessary to keep you and yours safe from this coronavirus and everything else that's going on in this nation right now. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there who are listening to this podcast, and
including yours truly as well, EG3. Again, I had to jump in here for a second here because I almost forgot. So, but this podcast will be out Tuesday. But anyways, as of right now, happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. Do what you can to keep you and your loved ones safe. EG3, AA, we're out. Here come them cats.
Purple Project Podcast. Get it wherever podcasts are found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Audio Boom, and more. We'll talk to you on the next edition of the Purple Project Podcast.